mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family.
Mm-hmm.
It's your mom and dad.
Clap.
Welcome home. Evan, I would like to show you something.
A surprise for me.
A surprise for you. I would like to show you something in the audience, actually, and our dear, dear, dear family. So US Weekly just put out a new magazine.
Also, what I think people call it Us Weekly. You know what I mean?
Is it Us Weekly?
I always hear Us Weekly. I don't know. I don't know if it's United States Weekly or if it's Us Weekly, but people say Us Weekly.
I mean, it is Us Weekly.
It's Us Weekly.
US Weekly. Wow.
Because I think, yeah, okay. Anyway, continue.
And I called.
Isn't it like a social mag, right?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's like
Us. And then
like,
I also called it an article, but I meant the cover. What's a magazine? Like a single. Not an episode.
An episode. a magazine. A editorial.
No, like one mag. The family is screaming
right
now. Go
ahead and cut this, everyone. Redo.
What are you talking about? A magazine, like it's a single magazine, the whole thing is not the article, it's the
magazine.
The family knows what I mean.
It's what? Crazy. It's not a magazine, but it's a magazine?
Like, instead of an episode, it's a magazine.
Feature? Cover?
No. Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm going to lose my mind and I'm going to figure it out in a minute. And this is no good. This is no good. Wow.
Okay, this is not going well.
The cover of the newest.
Of the newest weekly.
Us Weekly magazine is Mel Owens. And it says, Mel Owens, Golden Bachelor Mel Owens, unfiltered, unpredictable, unforgettable, in all caps.
Us Weekly struggling. There was nothing going on this week.
And at first, I was like, who was paid off at Us Weekly to, next to Mel Owens, put unforgettable in massive lettering?
They're hurting.
And then I realized, after watching this episode of Hometowns, he is unforgettable. Because I will never forget the Hometown episode where the lead didn't care getting engaged or being in a relationship with anybody at all.
See, I would have done that. My magazine would have been like, Mel Owens, forgettable. Like, you don't care or ever remember again. We have no interview. There's nothing to say.
It's just a blank.
Yeah, and it's just him saying good. Just one word. How are you? It just says good. And then it's just on to the next thing. It's an ad for, you know, perfume or something.
Evan, we have never in the history of this show seen a lead like Mel during Hometowns. Mel Owens has been giving us nothing this entire season.
Nothing.
But this was top notch.
Top notch.
He is meeting the families, and I have never seen a lead interact. And you know what? To his credit, at least he's being honest. He's not telling everybody he's in love with all of them and that he's going to marry them. At least he's being direct and looking at the family members and being like, yeah, I don't quite remember your mom's name, but go on.
There had to have been, like, I wonder when all the producers and people got together during this shoot, when they were shooting it and going, we made a massive mistake.
Yeah, we've made a massive
mistake. Like, no one's going to care about this.
No.
Like, no one is going to feel anything about this guy because he doesn't feel anything about this situation.
Yeah.
Like, they had to have kind of felt that on set, been like, dude, we all our IT. Like, by the way, ITMs.
What about?
There is like none of him because he doesn't say anything. Like, when he says them, he's just like, this is great. Like, they must be, because, you know, I feel like you get a real read with all the ITMs. So they're sitting all the ladies down, ITMs. When they sit with him, they must have been like, oh shit, we shouldn't have pushed this through.
Well, during this episode in particular, I was like, are they now setting it up? Because we already started the season off with the Mel Owens apology tour. are they really setting it up to hit it at the very end, like full Bachelor villain? Like where, at, like they're intentionally going to show us like at the end,
sabotage vibes.
Full Mel Owens Bachelor. But then when we saw the preview for next week's episode, which is a Women Tell All, I thought this is the perfect time where they're going to have the women all lined up, like coming at Mel. But it didn't look like that's what was going to happen.
It looked like it's more just Nicole versus some vibes.
But regardless of the fact that he was giving us nothing, I loved this episode.
You know what? It was entertaining because it was like so different. It was so unique. Usually we have lead nervous for the first time.
Yes.
Script flipped. Now the kids and the cousins and the uncles and aunts are interviewing them, putting them. Now they have to explain.
Yes.
Mel said, I see your script. I throw it in the trash. I see your nervousness. He was true. He said, I played in the NFL. I don't experience fear.
I know no fear.
He says, I played in the NFL. I don't give a shit about what your kids or family has to say or think about me. I will stonewall you with no response.
He did not for one moment stutter when he held down his like, yeah, I don't care. He did not bat an eye. But not only that, that was like, so watching that, then I felt like, even though it wasn't nice to watch, I really enjoyed watching this episode.
Yes.
Because there was something about it, like you said, that was so different.
Yes.
That I also felt really strong. I don't know what it was, but I felt really strongly watching the women in it too. I had like, there was a lot of dynamic with the different women, with the kids that I don't know. I feel like with the Golden Bachelor, with the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, all the typical seasons, the hometowns have become pretty cut and paste because I think the lead, the contestants and the family members are now hyper aware of being on TV. So everyone's pretty like, well, you know, good for you.
Yes.
And there was something that felt more raw about this episode that we haven't had in a long time where I was like really feeling things watching it. I don't know. Well, I liked it.
It was also just
like a not like it way.
Yeah, I liked it. And like it was weird. I mean, it's just, it's definitely bizarre because it's one of those things where we've always watched someone's parents and siblings have an opinion on who they're with.
Right.
Where this is like the second time only that we've ever seen like children and family have an opinion, and this, and because he gave us so little, it was like now we were kind of analyzing Peg more and the relationship they have with their family, and we're analyzing Debbie, and we're analyzing, you know, Cindy, and we're
kind of
going, what's the vibe there? Because he gave us so little that like we were now kind of turned into them and being like, what's their family dynamic like?
I was kind of fascinated.
Let's get into it.
Also, too, family, we are actually recording this Wednesday night right after we watched it. It's been a hot minute,
Since we've done it,
since we did a nighttime one. So we're having a little beverage.
We're having a little beverage.
So it may get a little unhinged. So let's enjoy, perhaps.
It's nice. I like the switch up. I like the occasional nighttime.
Hometown, because if they were in my hometown your hometown, it would be very unhinged. And And I don't want to get into what our families would be like.
I got to be honest. I do miss the like unhinged kind of religious... you know, family member that kind of has a lot to say in some of these episodes. You know what I mean? I do the occasional like off the chain, like uncle that comes in and starts saying some crazy stuff. But
This was as close to kind of unhinged because of our lead as we've had in a while.
So weird. Let's get into it. I'm excited.
But first, let's take a quick pause. So family, we are going to be talking about some issues we have with Mel, but let's take a moment and talk about hair issues, okay? If you're dealing with hair issues like thinning or shedding, but feel totally stuck on what to try next, I get it, okay? That was me. Oh, that was me. And I was absolutely trying everything, but to no avail for years. There are so many products out there, and it's hard to know which ones are actually going to do anything. That's exactly why I gave Nutrafol a closer look. It is not just hype. It's physician formulated, clinically tested, and even recommended by dermatologists. So I had heard and seen amazing results from friends and family. So I gave it a try. I gave Nutrafol a try. And here I am, years later, with this gorgeous mop. Wow. It's in a ponytail right now, but look at this.
Put her on the billboard.
Here we go. It has grown. Okay, so I saw results around like 3 to 4 months in. It has grown so much. My hair has grown so much. It is so much thicker. It sheds way less. It is so much healthier. I am so forever grateful for Nutrafol. It changed my hair game. I'll be a fan for forever. Yes. I love Nutrafol so much.
It's incredible. You look incredible. Thank you. Are a walking billboard.
Thank you.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. And you can feel great about what you're putting into your body, since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standards in third party certification for supplements. And here's the deal. While many supplements rely solely on ingredients studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy, using a variety of hair measurement tools like their hair counts and pull tests to assess growth, quality, shedding, and texture. They're the best.
And on top of my results being incredible, adding Nutrafol into my daily routine was also so simple. You purchase online, no prescription required, automated deliveries and free shipping keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20%. You'll have access to free one-on-one naturopathic doctor consults to support you on your hair growth journey, and a Headspace meditation membership is included. I mean, my goodness, they're just simply the best. See thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code MOMDAD. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code MOMDAD. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code MOMDAD. Okay, family, before we dive in, yeah. I do want to let the fam know this, though. Okay. So next week, we have one episode. We're going to be covering The Women Tell All. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's juicy, but even if it's not, your dad and I are going to make it juicy.
Even if it sucks, we'll still be there live on air.
And we're going to make it juicy.
But listen, we bring the fun. That's such a parent thing to say.
Also, that is like, feels so arrogant, even though yeah. It just feels so like, yeah, but you know what? We're so good that you're going to have a great time anyway.
We are the energy. We are the
See right there.
Nighttime episode. Right that there. That was old guy.
But I'm saying right there, you just prove that we're not entertaining.
You're entertaining. I am color commentary. No. I just kind of come in, I drop a little thing.
No, I am not. I'm a rambler.
Ooh,
I'm the rambler. The rambler of California. And anyway, California, I don't even rambler? Know. This is a nighttime episode. I
Let's
apologize.
Go.
But my point is that we are going to be doing one episode next week. But here's the 411, and we appreciate your patience if this happens. There is a chance. It should drop on Friday. There's a chance it might drop on Saturday because your little sister, Ember, booked a filming gig and we are last minute flying to Canada, which is very exciting.
Very
so
cool.
We're heading to Canada and we're supposed to be back, but it might get delayed. And then your mom over here is supposed to get some dental surgery right when we get back. It's just a lot next week that are some question marks.
I'll be here. So if they don't want to show up, I'll be here.
Solo episode. But there's Solo a chance. Up. There's a chance we might be like a day behind. So we appreciate your patience in advance. Thank you so much. We love you all and we appreciate you all. And we're very excited for Canada. Also, on a quick other note, if you're watching the YouTube, look at how cute my hat is.
Yes.
Look at this hat. Beast in my bonnet. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, I was wearing that cute shirt with the cat fisherman on it. Mm-hmm. Beast in my bonnet is our dear friend's company. It's hand-drawn designs printed. Cutest products ever. Okay, look at this hat with this the little beast in
so
the bonnet
cute.
On it. I'm going to post on Instagram. Ember just got one of their sweatshirts that has like a cat Hamlet on it. Okay, I'm telling you, when I wear their
Adorable
products out,
designs.
It's just, they're amazing. The clothing, yeah. the they have ornaments coming out for the holidays. They have like awesome book bags and blankets. They're just amazing. And the family's the best family ever.
Yeah.
And we had some of the family members purchase from them.
Oh,
and
amazing.
They were so excited. I mean, just
great,
family.
Great.
Just check it out. I'm going to put the link. I'm going to post a photo of Ember in it. Just amazing. All right. That's my 411.
Incredible.
That's my tea. Let's get into the hometown episode.
The hometown.
So we start with Mel on a plane.
Mm.
And I want to say something.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed, but when Mel was sitting on the plane, mm-hmm. he had next to him an apple mm-hmm. and a water. And I don't trust that.
Boring.
I don't trust that, okay?
Just like his personality, his diet also remains unentertaining.
Listen, if you are one of our healthy family members, I appreciate and respect you. But for me, I'm on a plane. It's junk food galore.
If you're on a plane, you need to have diarrhea. Okay, you need to be eating their weird food, their weird warmed up canisters of like lasagna and shit. You need to be in the bathroom because it's so weird. An apple and a water, dude. No gin and tonic. No, I mean, where is the energy?
I just need like, I need Oreos. I need junk. Will it make me more swelly on the plane? Sure.
Will your feet swell
absolutely
through the sandals?
Absolutely. Are my compression socks absolutely flowing over? Indeed. But an apple and a water? And he was sitting there, I think with a journal, not even the TV
on. Was he
raw
dogging?
Not a
book.
Don't
they call raw dog in the flight?
Raw dogging.
Just sit there like staring into the back of the chair.
Raw dogging.
You see people like post about that where they're like, I raw dogged the flight 6 hours. And they're just like this into the back of the chair.
I kind of raw dogged my last flight.
I remember you saying that.
I just listened to classical music for like 4 hours.
Yeah, put her on the watch list, dude, because that is crazy.
But it's not fully raw dogging if he's looking at this journal. And I'm pretty sure it was a journal and it was highlighted. And so he was highlighting his journal. I don't know. And he
was
wearing...
Too old. Dang it.
He was wearing a lot of beads. The beaded
many
bracelets.
Beads.
He was wearing many
yes.
beads from his time with Shaman Danny.
Yes.
There was just like his journal, his beads, his apple, his water. You know what? Honestly, the picture of health, but I'm bored.
Boring.
Give me a shit show.
Get a cig. Smoke a cig on the plane. Grow up. You know what I'm saying? Bust out a vape. Eat the lasagna. Get diarrhea. Live a little. Scott Teeb's talking about how like Dane, you know, how much he likes energy. And I'm like, I'm not seeing it. You know what I mean? Live. I want you to catch Mel. A little sniffer, you know, snifter. Just drinking all the time. Cigs. Disappointing.
Honestly, someone who's having an apple and water and journaling probably is ultimately having more energy than
can
us.
Can we quit it? Stop defending him.
Who are putting him. Horrible things in our body, but oh well.
So he's on the plane with his beads.
He's on the plane with his beaded bracelets. And first he goes to Peg's hometown in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Viva Las Vegas. Part of me kind of wishes that they hit the slots, but...
Yeah,
ultimately,
I would have appreciated a little bit of like a strip vibe. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
oh
no, not
oh,
stripping.
I'm sorry.
Not to go to a strip club. That would have been sick. But no, if like, you know, like they hit the strip a little bit, like, you know, play a little game, like play into the Vegas thing. It was weird that you were just like.
But I loved that we did
yeah.
see her firehouse. That was so
100%.
Exquisite. Seeing her in her element, she is everything to me.
She's wildly cool.
She's unbelievable. Also, the fact that she was like, yeah, here's my life
hey
on the
boys.
Pole.
Oh, yeah.
She's
yeah,
my life
yeah.
on the pole. And she's her leg goes straight up in the air.
Insane.
The most flexible woman I've ever seen. Hi, guys. She's showing him. She was in the fire department for so long.
She's a badass.
An absolute queen. I was truly obsessed. And honestly, she had him then and there. The second she put him in the fire truck.
In the passenger seat.
He's like a little kid.
He's like a little kid. And he's like, it's like if she was a pilot and he had to like go to the front and get his little wings. You know what I mean? Like she's definitely going to body them. It was amazing.
I think everybody immediately becomes a child the second
yeah.
they get to go into a fire
100%.
Truck. 100%.
Well, he even said, he's like, you know, a lot of people don't get that kind of access.
Of course. If you right now had a fire truck pulled up outside
oh, yeah.
and the firefighter was like, hey, you can come on in. I'm thrilled. Okay.
I know you're thrilled. Okay. Chill out. I know you're like, it'd be amazing.
Why? Because of the hot down, virus.
Calm down.
But they end up having a bit of a serious talk for a moment on the back of the fire truck. And she talks about how she's been living this like emergency lifestyle her entire life. And so she's had this thing where it's like emergency now, deal with emotions later. Yeah. And that makes so much sense when she explained that. I was like, oh my God, of course. When you've been in that position for so long, you're going to be more guarded and you're not experiencing emotions until maybe a moment later.
That was interesting. She said that, yeah.
But she also said, which was like my favorite, is when she said, I'm looking for a fireplace. And we had heard that like sound bite.
She's like, I had the fireworks. Now I'm looking for the fireplace. I was like, dang, the bars.
That was amazing. And it's like, I'm not looking for the fireworks because that did not work. I'm looking for the safety, the coziness, the in my home, the time together. What I did find interesting, and we'll obviously get into Cindy later, but that his two final women are on opposite ends of the spectrum, where we have Peg, who's like, I had the fireworks, I'm looking for the fireplace. Yeah. And we have Cindy, who's like, I was more fireplace vibe. Well, I guess, but I'm looking for the fireworks.
Yes.
So we have one looking for fireplace.
I
want to fall in love.
I want to like...
passion.
It was like, I don't want to like, can I, I want to fall in love. I don't want to, you know, slide into love or just kind of have a warm vibe. Yeah.
She wants fireworks and Peg wants fireplace.
Yeah.
So that is very interesting to have Mel pick women who are so very different. Yeah. And from my perspective, Mel is absolutely looking more for fireworks. And the only reason that Peg has held on this long is because Peg is the firework.
Yes.
She is a firework incarnate.
Yes.
And so because she's so electric and exciting, I think that's the only reason he's kept it going for that long. But I think if they actually have more deep conversations and he really listens and hears from her that she is looking for like fireplace, he's going to go for, he wants fireworks.
Correct.
That's what I think.
Correct.
That's what I think. But then we get to meet Peg's family.
Yes.
And one of the people we meet is Peg's mom, Dorothy, who has been watching The Bachelor franchise for 20 years, which is her mom, Peg, or her mom, Dorothy.
Yeah. So
a doll.
Sweet. So sweet.
A doll. Part of Bachelor Nation.
Also like weirdly young looking too. Like I was like, what? Wait a second. Peg's like in her 60s and this is her mom.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like that woman's like 90.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you know what I mean? Like, that looked like one of the moms that you see. Like, it was just like.
It looked like a woman who should be on The Golden Bachelor.
That's what I mean. And it was just like, whoa. Yeah. So incredible.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
It's genetic youth. Like, genetic
incredible.
Youth. Then we also have her daughter, Dakota, who is crying, who is a doll. Obsessed with Dakota. Now, this is where. This episode starts to take some wild turns. First, I immediately wrote this down, and it hit me in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
So Dakota asks in front of all the family members, what are your first impressions of my mom?
Yeah.
How did she get out of the limo? And Mel cuts her off and says,
hot blonde.
He cuts her off and he goes, Dakota, you have no idea. And Dakota goes, oh, I know. And there's something about this is the daughter in me.
Yeah.
As the daughter of a single mom, there's something about some guy walking in who's never met me before that when I'm saying, what's the first impression? What was she like coming out? And the guy goes, oh, you have no idea. I'm a little bit like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That's not the right comment back, in my opinion.
Your mom's hot is not what we're looking for with the family.
Yeah, but I'm also just saying like the... I know, like you have.
Oh,
you
I
have
know
no
her.
Idea.
You don't. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
This is just maybe a personal thing.
Mm, I see where you're
but
going.
But again, as a daughter, there was a trigger there for
as
me.
As opposed to as you know, your mom is stunning. That kind of energy versus the.
I don't
like,
care about the stunning part. I want someone looking at me and being like, "Well, you know." Like if I were to say,
sure.
Hey, here's this guy, he walks in and I say, so what were your first impressions of my mom? How did she come out the limo? If he looks at me and he goes, well, Jess, I mean, you know your mom.
Right.
I'd go, here's our moment together. But for the immediate response to be like, oh, you don't even know.
Right.
I know that it's just like a colloquialism, but
it's a vibe.
I don't like that.
Mm.
I'm like, no, that's my mom. I know. Yeah. You're new here. You come in and you respect
humble
that yes. I know my mom and you don't know my mom.
Got it. Got it.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. 100%. I also just kind of feel like in front of a bunch of like family.
Yeah.
Saying hot blonde is just weird.
It was hot.
Right? All you had to be like.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you, I mean, stunning.
Gorgeous.
You know, the first thing that hit me was obviously before she even said a word, I thought, whoa, her eyes lit up the, you know, the driveway, and she had this incredible energy, and she's stunning. But no, nice ass. It just had that energy. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like.
Legs for days.
Yeah, it was fucking hot. It was just kind of like hot blonde. It was just like, oh, like her brothers. You know, it's just like, I don't know, it's weird. Like, we don't actually need to know what you're thinking. Like, make up some shit for us. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird. Hot blonde. Your sister's hot. Your mom's hot. First thing I thought was, oh, yeah. Then I got to know her alive energy. Anyway, I'm a little angry about it, but it just was weird. You know what I mean? It was like,
no, it
have a little like
too.
Vibe, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is the weird thing. Okay, I just got to say this. Isn't he a lawyer? Like, I thought.
He's an attorney, yeah.
I thought lawyers kind of like have a way with words. You know what I mean? Like, famously. Don't they have ways of saying things that like convince people of things? Like what, where is this?
But remember what we talked about, how maybe he's saying some wild shit and they're just having to edit out everything like he
there's
says.
There's nothing usable.
Nothing's usable.
Like, where's the charm? Where's the like smooth talk? Where's the like bang, bang, boom? Where's the like. He doesn't mean it, but he's saying it energy. It's like none of that. It's just your mom's hot. Huh? But like, can we get into the Dakota conversation? Because it truly was incredible.
Yes. Let's talk about this wild solo convo with Dakota, her daughter, and Mel. But first, we got to take another quick pause. So Mel's conversation with Peg's daughter was awkward. Yeah. And speaking of awkward, why risk eye contact with Chad at the dispensary when IndiCloud ships THC to your couch? Stronger, legal, zero chads.
Chad free.
Chad really. Free. Listen, yeah. Family, let me tell you about IndiCloud, okay? IndiCloud isn't just another hemp brand. It's a fully legal online dispensary that's already moved over 10 million gummies, mountains of exotic flower, and pre-rolls as far as the eye can see. And every product is tested in DEA certified labs and ships straight to your door. No sketchy dispensary runs, no guessing what's inside. It's federally legal THC made simple. That's why more than 50,000 customers already trust IndiCloud to keep their buzz happy. Hassle-free, and if you are 21 or older, grab 30% off your first order plus free shipping with code MOMDAD at IndiCloud.co.
So let me tell you about the first time I tried IndiCloud. Mm-hmm. I took one gummy thinking, I'm just going to chill for a bit.
Yeah.
Cut to 45 minutes later, I am in a blanket burrito, emotionally invested in the anglerfish. Do you remember the anglerfish?
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Cried my eyes out. I mean, IndiCloud is no joke, and they've really got everything. Looking for better sleep, they got a gummy for that. Want a little light social buzz without tipping into chaos? Yes, please. Easy. Need something with a little more kick? That's where the Beast Mode collection comes in. Potent enough to impress even seasoned pros, but still legal and predictable.
Oh yeah, that Beast Mode. Oh, yeah. Beast Mode. Whatever your vibe, quiet porch nights, smutty book in hand afternoons, or a weekend hang with friends, IndiCloud's got a match that's tested, trusted, and delivered right to your door. If you're 21 or older, grab 30% off your first order plus free shipping with code MOMDAD at IndiCloud.co. That's IndiCloud.co, code MOMDAD. 30% off, free shipping, and snacks suddenly taste like an adult Michelin star meal, okay? Fill out their quick survey when you order to support this show, then go finish that episode, that game, or that snack you started. And as always, please enjoy responsibly. Huge thanks to IndiCloud for sponsoring today's episode. Okay, let's discuss the conversation with Peg's daughter, Dakota, and Mel. Yes. You know what? Actually, before we give our thoughts on that, Evan, I think we should do a dramatic reading of this conversation. Okay.
Finally, my time
to theater.
Shine. I've been talking about joining theater, and I've been talking about how I would actually be an incredible actor. So I think this is my time to kind of just start working on some of these skills and kind of put it out there for the world to see.
Well,
if there's any agents or managers, please reach out.
You can play the role of Mel, if that pleases you so.
I think I could handle it.
And I will play the role of Dakota.
Okay.
Ready?
Hold on. Kind of a method actor, so I just need to kind of get in the zone. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Played in the NFL. Yeah, go ahead.
So, how are you doing?
Good.
How are you feeling about my mom?
Great.
Okay. Why?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. Because I love her spirit.
What about her spirit?
She's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, she's definitely has a lot of energy, but what about her energy?
It's alive. And scene? Thank you. Like I said, if there's any representation, I'm willing to accept many offers. I will pay you as well.
Family.
You know, I got to give him credit on this. He's willing to sit in awkward silence like someone I've never seen. He made her sweat.
Oh.
You know, usually it's the opposite. He goes, I'm going to see you making me sweat and I'll make you sweat.
And I will raise it.
I'm going to make you have to awkwardly and nervously come up with conversations. Usually it's the, I don't know what to say to the daughter. I don't know what to say to the dad. I don't know what to say to the mom. Now it's, I don't know what to say to the lead because he's making me sweat.
Saying, first of all, how are you feeling about my mom? And the response being great, period.
Good.
Great.
Wasn't it great? Oh, it was great. That was good. That was after. Sorry.
So, you know what?
A little better.
She got great.
She got great.
She got great, at least. But the response being great, period.
Yes.
Is truly a level of bachelor lead behavior unlike we have ever seen in our lives.
What do you like about her energy alive? It's like, hey, bro, are you alive?
It's like to say, what about her energy? It's alive?
I wanted Dakota to be like, is this a good time?
Honestly.
You know what I mean? Is now a good time or should we do this later?
Yeah, am I bothering you? That's what it felt like. It felt like she was bothering him.
Yes.
It was like, I don't want to talk to your freaking daughter.
One word answers is crazy.
I want to hang out by that pole with your mom.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the pole at the firehouse with your mom. I don't want to be here talking with you and your mom's brother about like what commitment.
He wasn't picking up too like on kind of Dakota's like annoyance.
No.
Or her kind of like, well, this is awkward energy. He was just plowing.
Just
like Dakota
plowing.
Later on when they're talking, she's going like, you know, when they start talking about engagement and she's kind of like, well, are you in love with my mom? He's like, not yet. Okay, well, do you feel like you'll get there with her? We'll see. That's why we're here.
He said, I don't know.
He said, I don't know. And then she's like, well, do you feel that you'll get that way with anybody? And he was like, we'll see. And then she's like, wait. And then she kind of starts almost chuckling, like in that sarcastic way of like, wait, isn't this the point of the show? Like in a couple of weeks, you're going to get on one knee. And he's like, I'm not here to get like for that. I'm here to connect with someone.
He said, I don't even know if I'll be in love at the end of this.
Right.
Which was almost, it almost became a little like Inception-y to me, because how many people go on this show and we as the audience say, how in the world
could you fall
in love that quickly?
And like, is he's it real? Kind of exposing the vibe. You know what I mean? Like he's kind of saying, yeah, I agree. This is fucking insane.
The dude has not been PR trained thoroughly enough post the podcast, apparently, that they're like, no, the point of it is supposed to be that you at least act like you're in love and are willing to get down on one knee at the end. And he's like, yeah, no, I don't know what you all are talking about, but I don't even know if I'm planning on making one of these women my girlfriend.
He's like, I don't even know if I'm gonna make them my friend.
You know, true.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if we're a friend level yet. I don't even know if I would invite you over to my house for like dinner yet.
You know what's happening here? Is you mentioned earlier in the season that there were some moments that were giving more Love Island than Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
This is giving Love Island.
100%.
It's the whole...
They're together for like months and they're like, I'm willing to maybe say that I might be having feelings for you.
It's like the Ace and Shelly. Like, yeah. They leave
it's like, dude, it's been
the
8
island
weeks.
Together.
You guys live every moment together and you're like,
they're not boyfriend and girlfriend yet.
I want to date you at some point in 3 years.
Yes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean,
we talk about someone not being swept up.
No. Zero. Zero sweep up. And then it's like, you know, Peg's daughter is like, well, here's the bottom line, though. My mom has been through a lot. Yes. Can you at least ensure me that she's going to be protected? And he's like, I mean, I'll try.
He's like, I don't even like, give a shit about you or any of this. There was a couple things I really liked that I wrote down. It was like, she said, you seem like a nice man. So she wasn't like coming at him. You know what I mean? She was very level headed. The one thing I will say about Dakota
was everything to
but
me.
But what can happen a lot of times with like the siblings or the family is that like someone comes in really hot and they have this kind of character they're playing, which is like this overprotective person.
Yeah.
And like the lead's like super nice and sitting there and they're getting like beat over the head with like, well, I don't, and they're kind of got this weird, you know what I mean? Like sometimes they can come in kind of like fake, angry. Dakota was the opposite. Dakota was like super sweet with her mom, super loving, adores her mom, was protective but not overly, was like totally level-headed, was objective, was kind of like basically how we all felt, where it was like this, you're laughing at the right moments. But I liked how she was like, you seem like a nice man. Like she even, despite all that, gave him some credit for like being seemingly a nice guy. She didn't like come at him, you know, she was like, well, you seem like a nice man. But then it was the whole like, I just really hope that you're not going to like screw my mom over in this process. Can you do me a favor? Can you at least tell me that like you're not going to string her along and hurt her? Like if you feel this for someone else, can you let her know? Like it wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't interrogative in a weird way. It was just very simple and very straightforward. And I just like that at the end of it, she's just like, yeah, he didn't have any of the answers that made me feel good.
She's like, I'll be real with you all. Production, I'll be real with you. He gave me nothing.
Yeah.
So what am I supposed to, how am I supposed to feel as Peg's daughter? Not only did he not try to connect with me, he also was giving me one word answers and told me that he's not sure if he's even interested in anybody at the end of this.
Yeah,
so like, how am I supposed to feel?
Yeah. And you know that generally too, like there's probably a lot of conversations they don't show.
Yeah.
Where like a lead would be like, Dakota, like I've heard a lot about you. How's this thing? How's that thing?
Not
like,
getting that from
Oh my God. I heard about this. How did that go? You know what I mean? Just got like really sweet, just back and forth. You could tell he didn't ask a single question.
No.
You could tell he didn't even once like engage her to like get to know her and care about. It was really weird.
Yeah.
It was so, and then at the very end, my favorite was, thanks for having me in your home. And then he just gets up. Like no one had gotten up yet. He was just like,
yeah, he's like, I'm
out
of here.
I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like I'm already over this. I usually don't have to deal with this.
Well, when Dakota then talked to her.
When you're dating 30-year-olds, I don't have to do all this family shit.
I don't have to meet the kid typically.
Yeah, this is a nightmare. I don't want to deal with this. That's why I date women with no children. Because they're too young to have kids. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's giving, like he doesn't want any of this.
I know. Well, when Dakota then talked to her mom, she was just kind of like, hey, you know, I'm going to support you regardless.
Yeah.
But she's like, I kind of want you to just like come home and don't go
like,
through with this. She literally laughed.
Yeah.
She goes, come home. Don't go like, through with this, mom. Like, please don't. She's like, I'm concerned that he's not going to be appreciating you as much as you deserve. And she's crying. She is such a sweet girl.
Very sweet.
And you can tell just how much she adores her mom. Their relationship is so sweet.
Mom walked in, she's bawling.
They are so sweet together. And the fact too, that she's like, I'll support you, but I'm going to be honest with you too. And I'm not thrilled.
But she wasn't honest in like a brutal way. She was just kind of like, hey, I love you and this feels a little strange. It was very level-headed.
Her whole family was darling. Her brother was so sweet, the way he was interacting with Mel. He's so soft-spoken and
very
precious.
Nice.
And her mom was darling. But what I did note is that Peg, when she was talking to her mom, her mom said, are you fond of him? And she goes, yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And then
Peg's been like that way from day one too, kind of like really likes the idea, but hasn't seemed as swept up as some of the others.
Well, and then Dakota asks her too, and she's like, he's a nice man.
Yeah.
And so the response of he's a nice man, I wonder, but I also wonder, I can't tell if it's that Peg's not that into him or if she is just very, very protective and her walls are up because she's protecting her heart. And so she's not letting herself get swept up, because she did tell her mom that if Mel proposed, she'd say yes.
Yeah.
And she's like, he better ask your permission. Obviously, we did not see Mel ask anyone's permission about marrying anybody because he's not going to propose to anybody. So there's that.
He was never going to propose. Never. Even if he's madly in love, he'll be, he's done with this.
Well, we find out as he's leaving Peg's home that he says he's only been in love one time. And then it ended in divorce.
Right.
And so it's hard for him. So listen, though I can't relate because I've never been in that situation. Why are you winking at me?
No biggie.
Because you haven't divorced me.
I guess that's kind of a weird way to wink.
I mean, just winked at me when I said that I've never been divorced.
You're lucky, sweetheart. I haven't divorced you. You get the same love.
But there's like this, you know, there's this part of me that's like, oh my God, I can't imagine the feeling of like having been in love with one person. It didn't end up working out and the heartbreak of that.
Right.
But if I'm being totally real with you, even though Mel says he's only been in love once and then he got divorced,
he's like,
so
I've
it
been
hurts
in lust many times.
But he's just not giving me the type of person that even if he was in love, he'd like feel it or show it really.
Or really experience human emotion.
So I'm like, okay, maybe you were in love with your ex. I would love to see what Mel in love looks like because
I hated her the least. Sorry. It's a late night episode. Chill, everybody. What does love mean to you? When you don't like someone less than the other people that you're possibly could be with. Oh. Your mom bothers me the least out of all these ladies.
Well, yeah, that's where it
fireworks
wraps
very low, but you know, Peg making it work. She's incredible.
I mean, not low fireworks for Mel though, because Mel seems super into Peg.
Yeah.
He's macking with her. He loves how much energy she has. He loves how flexible she is and all those things.
Yeah.
But you know, it seems like there's no interest in maybe even a
connecting with someone emotionally
relationship.
Yeah, yeah,
well, you know, at the end of the day, he did tell us in episode one that he is more concerned with
passion,
with physical touch over emotional connection,
physical touch and passion
over emotional connection and loyalty. So
he's definitely not leading us on. I mean, we know where he stands.
That's what I'm saying. So at least there's that. Okay. Okay, next we had Debbie's hometown, and that was in Denver, Colorado. By the way, a dear sweet family member let us know via the DMs that I've been saying that Debbie's 58 this whole time and that she's the youngest. Not true.
Okay.
Debbie is 65.
That's crazy.
And that woman does not look a day over 45. So yeah, apologies about that, Debbie. Oh, yeah. You are in fact 65. Again, not looking a day over 45. Mm-mm. And Lord knows there have been suitors just out the door waiting for you, because Debbie's just, not only is she beautiful,
she's a treat.
Debbie is just has the greatest, she has great energy.
She has great energy. She's also like deep. And she kind of has this like vibey energy too. So not only does she have a great energy just for her age and also like the hiking and the thing, and she's got like a lot of energy, but it's also like she's got this like sweet spirit about her, and she's got this kind of like, you feel like you know her. Yeah, she's awesome.
She's amazing.
She's very cool.
She's amazing. Well, she decides that she is going to take him to Red Rocks.
Red Rocks.
And they're kind of going through a hike, and then they end up, you know, at the stadium, the music stadium. Mm-hmm. She did, I will say this, and we can discuss later where he doesn't end up choosing her.
Yeah.
But at one point, she points and she goes, "Look, butterfly." And he turns and looks. Which is interesting, because have you heard of the bird theory on TikTok?
This sounds familiar. Can you remind me?
So there's a bird, it's called the bird theory on TikTok. And they say, if you're in a relationship and you say to your partner, like, look, a bird. And the partners who are invested, who care, will like turn and look. And it's an example of like looking, even though something is not super exciting. I mean, to me, you say bird and I'm like, where? To anybody? Because right. I'm like, crow.
She's in love with everybody. Yeah.
But it's a little bit like you say something that doesn't have like a ton of that
sure.
quote unquote value to it, but your partner still takes interest
Got
in it.
Yes.
Versus you'd see these people experimenting with it on TikTok like, and you'd say, look, there's a bird. Or the person just wouldn't even turn. They'd still look at their phone. They wouldn't engage. They just don't have much engagement with their partner as much as somebody else would. And so I will
that
say
that kind of sounds like a theory that just gets in people in a lot of fights.
Sure, but it also really
it's
opens
like interesting.
Up.
You didn't even care about the bird I mentioned because on TikTok it says that if you like the bird, then we are in love, and if you don't, we should break up.
Well, he looked at the butterfly. Okay. So Mel's either a fan of nature or he was invested.
Could you imagine
enough.
He's just like crazy?
Well, he is kind of a slow-moving, nonchalant guy that I would imagine with a lot of people, if you said, as you're hiking, you go, Mel, look, a butterfly, that he would just keep hiking
He'd
and wouldn't
like, so
really
engage.
Who else
engage. Play here at the stadium? Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm
I know
saying.
What
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so you're saying that was a little bit of an interesting, even though she got cut, theory proven wrong, I guess?
No, I think what it is, and it's going to prove my point later, is that I think he did really like her, and it wasn't her that is the reason why he cut her.
Interesting.
Yes.
Let's get into that.
Let's get into that.
That sounds exciting.
We're going to talk about that in a few moments, but let's take another quick pause first. Family, I will tell you what. If I was one of the kids of one of these golden ladies after being present for that hometown date with Mel, I'd really be searching to find my inner calm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'd really be searching to find that inner
Quite
calm. And hey, that's actually something I've been trying to do for myself lately because aren't we all? Aren't we all right now? And on that journey, I discovered Minnesota Nice. Minnesota Nice is a trusted source for natural plant medicines, especially Amanita muscaria, helping people find calm and healing. Amanita, which has been used for centuries to promote relaxation, enhance dreams, and help with sleep. And Minnesota Nice is, in fact, the number one supplier of Amanita muscaria in the U.S. with their affordable, high-quality products. And I really love that Minnesota Nice is all about education, not just sales, offering a community, dosing guides, which if you're interested, I absolutely recommend, and information so you can find out what works best for you. Also, their global network of over 40 trusted distributors ensures ethical sourcing, working directly with families worldwide who earn several times more harvesting for them than they would in traditional jobs, supporting sustainable practices and local communities.
They also offer a wide range of premium ethnobotanicals beyond Amanita, including blue lotus known as centuries-old aphrodisiac.
Mm-hmm.
They offer it in a gummy form and also in tea form, which I personally really love. I really have benefited from Minnesota Nice Blue Lotus. Helped me wind down, even tapped into my deep empathy levels. Like I just felt like a opened up, was a little warmer. Jess loves their reishi for sleeping, and they have all sorts of others available as extracts, gummies, tinctures, and consumer-ready products as well.
And again, I love that they care so much about quality and education. Everything from their sourcing to their packaging just feels really thoughtful, which I really appreciate. If you're looking for a way to relax, recharge, or just feel a little more at ease, you have to check them out. And again, I absolutely recommend checking out their education and dosing guide beforehand so you can find what works best for you. Minnesota Nice wants to help you find your calm. Go to www.mnniceethno.com/mom and dad and use code MOMANDDAD22 for 22% off your first order. That's www.mnniceethno.com/mom and dad. Code MOMANDDAD22. Much love. Okay, so before we get into the actual meeting of Debbie's family and my theory, let's talk for a moment. The remainder of their time at Red Rocks, she actually opened up to Mel about her last love, the one who she was either almost engaged to or did get engaged. And it was when she was around 50. And it was
gnarly.
It was so heartbreaking because she discusses that this person. She cared so much about this person, mm-hmm. but they suffered through depression. And she knew eventually that she needed to separate from him, but was struggling knowing how much he struggled, and talked to their therapist, and eventually ended up leaving. And then after, he ended up taking his own life. And I mean,
heartbreaking.
It was so heartbreaking and so devastating. And not only, you know, just thinking about this person and their family, but thinking about Debbie and how she talked about how for the next 10 years she struggled so much. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine the feeling that she was having to walk through, with just the feeling of like, should I have not have done that?
Sure.
Even though, of course, it is so not her fault, and just obviously her needing to take care of herself and do what was right for her. Mm-hmm. But I can't even imagine that. And just talking about then, you know, needing to like be with then friends and family and just heal and not date for so many mm-hmm. years after. And it was so, so heartbreaking. And just to echo, like, again, Debbie's just really an incredible person.
Yeah, give an insight into her, kind of how she thinks, what she's been through. It also kind of like, she talked about how it was like a weight off her chest to be able to talk to him about it, because you know that it was kind of like looming and she mm-hmm. wanted to talk about mm-hmm. it. So it was not unexpected. It wasn't like they gave previews to that anyway. So really hardcore, really heartbreaking, tragic, and also just proud of her getting out into the world again and being able to kind of, you know, experience this mm-hmm. and obviously whatever. But man, it showed a whole new layer to her that we didn't even know existed too.
She is, she's a really incredible person and a person who just, you know, she wants
big
that
heart.
Love and deserves to be loved mm-hmm. so fiercely. And I hope that Debbie finds that person. I know she will.
Dare I say, next Golden Bachelorette energy?
She'd be an amazing
Golden
Bachelorette.
She would be incredible.
She would be an amazing Golden Bachelorette. And
she's got a lot of love to give. She has an incredible spirit. I would love to see that.
I would love it too. And you know what? I think it would be a really important story to share. A perspective of someone who hasn't been married before.
Exactly. It'd be a fresh thing. I think it'd be really cool.
It's someone who hasn't been married. And it's like, again, the whole point of this show is to be like, just because you get older doesn't mean that love goes away. And it's like, here's somebody who hasn't been married before and is now ready for that type of relationship and wants that. And so let's have that experience. I think it should be an amazing Golden Bachelorette.
Nicole's like, wait a second.
Nicole's this like, what about
nice.
Me?
Should be next up.
All of a sudden, Nicole is like, I'm Debbie's best friend, and I'll be in every episode.
Yeah, exactly. although we see a preview of it, looks like Debbie kind of calling Nicole out and saying, like, you dismissed us, so I'm kind of ready for that.
Well, I remember that you said that you noted that it seemed like Nicole kind of didn't like Debbie that much.
Yeah, I think Debbie saw through it.
I think maybe you picked up on some
love.
Some vibes. So we then meet Debbie's family, and we get to meet her brothers and her sisters, and they are adorable. They are
her
the
brother Ron.
Oh,
he's got the greatest laugh. Debbie, you hear it like echoing through the halls right away. He's like, ah, he's got the greatest vibe. Everyone's got incredible energy, awesome vibes.
They are the loveliest people. They are so warm and cozy. We end up finding out, we heard about her sister Judy, but we end up finding out that she's got a twin, mm-hmm. her twin sister Donna.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, I was like, there have been so many twins this season. Okay.
Yes.
We had Sandra and Andra.
Yeah.
We had what's her face? With her influencer twin daughters. And
oh,
now
yes.
we have Debbie, who's also a twin.
Hella
and
twins.
I was thinking, percentage wise, I've met one twin pair in my whole life.
I'm trying to think how many.
So,
I probably got three or four, but not
really?
Twins lived on my street. My buddy has twin brothers.
Okay. Maybe I know more twins than I think. But
maybe I feel like maybe I met another pair, but
identical twins are fascinating to me. And if you are part of the family and are an identical twin, like, I got to know your story. Because I've watched
the story. Well, we were born.
I watched so many fascinating videos about like feeling each other's emotions and like hearing each other's thoughts from like, can you imagine having like someone in your life that you're like, that's my forever, like my, that's my
bonded
twin
on a whole new level. Yeah.
Anyway, I'd love to hear your story if you're a twin.
Please submit your story to your mom and dad at twins.com. We'll be doing a twin episode where we just feature all twins from all over the world who listen.
I think that'd be incredibly fascinating.
Tell us your story. Everybody has the same story. Like, yeah, we were born twins, and that's pretty much it. You're like, a fantastic. Next. There's something so funny to me about like just like full-blown twins episode. We're like, what the fuck is going on?
We only cover reality TV, and then we have a
podcast
twins
called
episode?
Twins. Are they twins? No.
You know what? I think a podcast called Twins is awesome.
And a podcast? If you are twins, you should start a podcast. I mean, I just feel like that's a thing.
And then you interview other twins, and then you find out about your psychic powers.
Whoa. And then you start like a twin army.
Sure.
For good.
A twin army.
A twin army for good. And everyone's like, what the fuck? There's two of everybody. I'm being attacked by the two.
Imagine like.
Whoa. Twin Marvel. Everyone's twins.
Never mind. Okay, I have so many questions.
Fantastic
okay.
Twins.
So, okay. Then we have...
finish each other's sentences. All right.
So then we have...
It's a late night episode. Y'all chill.
We have Mel with her brothers. And he immediately... He's like, who's the better athlete between you two? Tosses the football the opposite way. The brother, who's adorable, is cracking up. Mm-hmm. And this is where we finally see Mel come alive. He is with the boys on the field, and he's like, he's in his power because he's like, these guys aren't athletes. They don't know how to play football very well.
I love it when I'm over, when I'm better than everyone. That's when I feel at home.
And we saw him loosen up, and he's smiling. Yeah. And what's that throw when he throws him and says it's a lollipop? What does that mean?
I think that just meant like, I'm going to throw it really easy to you so
that
you can catch it, little boy.
That is so rude.
Because he's like, you're not an athlete. You're just a little wuss. I'm going to throw you a little popsicle.
Maybe lollipop is like a type of throw.
Yeah, I know. I think it was literally him saying like, I'm going to throw you.
Like it's like a, like
I'm
a baby
gonna,
throw.
Like, I'm not going to throw you a good one because I know you can't handle it.
That made me laugh so hard when he was with them and we saw him light up. And he's like, so who's the athlete
here? Let's go. One on one.
That's, again, Mel. Mel is like, I got to be with my boys.
Mel
comes alive having a beer with the boys.
Yes.
So we then see Debbie having conversation with her sister, Judy, and then for a moment with, you know, her twin, Donna. But basically we hear her saying that she's been pitching herself to Mel. She's like, I've been doing everything I can to let him know, like, I'm into you. I want to be with you. She's like, he hasn't said it back quite yet. But she is talking about how happy she is. Her sister is like, she's so happy. She's so hopeful. But we see this Debbie who's like, and she's been like this for weeks now, where she's like, I'm falling in love with you. I want you to know. I want you to come see my family. She has been so bold in the way that she's like, hey, I like you. I want to be with you. I want you to meet my family. I want you to be my person. All of these things, right? Yeah. And he's been receptive to it so far, even though he hasn't been saying it back to her. And at first when I was watching this, I was kind of like, part of me thinks, you know, Mel probably loves that he's like, well, I don't have to prove myself to as many family members here.
Yeah.
And he says that their connection has grown stronger. And I think he probably feels that way because it was a very smooth, easy hometown where everyone was just adoring him.
Yeah.
Right? Skipping ahead to when he doesn't choose Debbie.
Uh-huh.
Here's my theory.
Okay. Hit me with it.
My theory is that Mel did not choose Debbie simply because her hometown vibe was small town vibe.
Interesting.
He goes to a backyard barbecue, which, let me make something clear, by the way, I loved.
I loved it too because it was like, you know what? You know, a lot of times they do the staged home where like they just pull up and it looks like an Airbnb. It's like everything's like weirdly clean and like there's just like nothing about it looks like people live there. Which kind of Peg seemed like that house might have been that way. A lot of times we see that where it's like these kind of homes that are like placed. And then you go to a home that's clearly someone's home.
Yes.
And you're like, I always love that.
Me too.
Because you get a little personality and they're like, oh, this is clearly someone's lived in home.
But even if it wouldn't be,
Yeah.
The backyard barbecue energy, kind of potluck style.
It was sweet family vibes.
But it felt small town. Yes. Obviously, Denver is not a small town.
Yeah.
But even just like the hike to the backyard barbecue felt small town. Agreed. Versus we have Peg in Las Vegas. He gets to go in his fire truck and we're in this kind of like glitzy house drinking martinis. Then we go to Cindy where we're in Austin. She has her penthouse condo with her Cosmos and her kids meeting at some like schmancy restaurant. It's giving city. It's giving yes. buzzy. I think Mel is here for a party. Mm. I think Mel is fucking bougie. I think he's bougie. And I say this as someone who, you know, unfortunately, born and raised in Orange County, as we've discussed, and know the typical Orange County people. And Mel lives in Orange County. And like yeah. we said over and over again, it's the very similar type of like, we have our small yacht in Newport Beach and we go to these buzzy restaurants and we're seen out about and we have our wine and our martinis. And even though Orange County isn't a big city, it has that bougie buzzy energy.
I agree.
And he got that from Peg and he got that from Cindy, but
like,
Debbie gave small town. And I think he thought, because Debbie's like, hey, I used to be a famous instructor for fitness, that he might get a kind of like
Peloton headquarters.
Here
energy.
Are my celebrity clients.
Yes.
Here's my buzzy lifestyle. I've been single. I've been partying. Here are my celeb.
We're going to
you know,
meet my hot friends yes, at the cool bar yes, downtown.
Yes. And I think that's what he expected. And when he like, walked in and I felt like I could see it on his face. And even the way he interacted with the brothers, he's like, so you guys ever heard of a football before?
Yeah, he's like, you losers.
I think I'm genuinely serious.
I agree. He definitely, because, and I think that was super reinforced by the Cindy date.
Exactly. And I believe in my heart that if he would have gone, as much as he's into Peg, if he would have gone to Debbie's hometown and it would have been, here are my cool Peloton instructor
yeah,
friends at this buzzy bar and we're rooftop hanging with our wine and our martinis, that he 100% would have chosen Debbie and said no to Peg
right.
because of his interaction with Peg's daughter, Dakota.
Yeah.
I firmly believe it. I do
and
not
also
think
Peg's
it was.
And also Peg's was not buzzy, but it was more buzzy.
It's Vegas.
It was better than Debbie's if you're not into the small town energy.
Mm-hmm. I firmly believe this. I don't think it was not Debbie. And when he said goodbye to Debbie, he was like, I don't know. I don't want to do this. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's part of him that stews that is like, maybe I should have gone with Debbie.
Yeah.
But I think
he
wants
liked her
to,
and he's like, this is not my vibe.
I think he wants to bouge out.
Well, speaking of that, can we go to Cindy? Because I really want to talk about Cindy.
I really want to talk about Cindy.
Because this was,
too.
There's a lot here.
There's a lot here. So.
Because Debbie's was pretty brief, realistically.
Yeah, it was.
Like, we were reading through the stuff, but, like, it was pretty, they kept it pretty quick. It was like, talk to the boys mm-hmm. for a few minutes. She talked to the sister, kind of was done.
Yep. So, Cindy's hometown is in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
And, listen, we get an ITM from the top where she's like, I cannot stop thinking about Mel. Last night I saw the moon, and I thought, the last time I saw the moon,
yeah.
I was with Mel. I hope he's seeing
it like,
and
lady,
thinking of me. And I go,
thinking about any of that.
I go, sorry, honey.
He didn't even know it was a full moon. He definitely doesn't know it's a full moon right now. And if he saw the full moon, he went, well, that's crazy. He did not think, oh, last time it was actually a connection that brought us together. And the fact that we're in the city together, it means a lot. And there's actually, is this the universe bringing? No. Now he's like, what? Good. Great. Alive.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
And then I lived in this moment because I was like, my romanticy books.
Mm-hmm.
When she goes, well, first we find out he's going to meet her family first.
Yes.
And then they're going to have their alone time after.
Which they were clearly giving them a little preferential vibe.
Yeah. She got to
the
have
double layers.
Cindy
here.
Technically, I think, has spent the most time with him
yes.
because she got a one-on-one, but she also had the one-on-one time with him at the People magazine cover
yes.
shoot group date.
Yes.
And now she has this, and this feels like extended
yeah,
time.
They really are favoring their vibe.
I think they are too. But she says to him, she says, if you're a good boy,
yeah,
I'll take you to my condo later. And
yeah.
I go, good
like,
boy.
Whoa.
I go, Cindy.
Tie me up.
Cindy.
Cindy. And Cindy
hinting?
Cindy goes,
at a little bit of a dominatrix. What?
Also, when
When
he walked up, she goes, hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
She goes, welcome to Austin, baby.
She goes, if you're a good boy. Yeah. I mean, you know I was alive.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm getting Dom vibes.
Yes.
And I am alive.
But then it was like, it was just very much his vibe. Well, he first of all started it with, we connect intellectually. That was an interesting comment he made. When he walked up, the first thing he said was, we really connect intellectually. I took that as like, I really like talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I took that as like, we have a very good flow back and forth. And then she kind of gave him the like, you know, they had the hug, they did the whole thing. And he's like, she gave him the like, I live on the top of that tower. I let my hair down for you every night. You know what I mean? She's like, see that over there? See that over there?
Sexy top of the tower.
I live in there. You see the red lights? That's where I live. You know what I mean? She's definitely was oozy. She was definitely kind of like, welcome to my city, babe.
Which we love.
We love.
But you know why he likes to talk to her?
Hmm.
Because Cindy, more than anyone, is like, Mel, you are my sun, moon, and stars. Yes. You are the most charming, wonderful. The fact that you are the bachelor is destiny.
Yes.
You were the best man we could have asked for. We need to be gracious with you because you have a lot going on. Like, that's why he likes talking to her.
I think Cindy knows how to talk to guys like him.
I think she does.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she knows kind of what they want to hear, which is like, oh, I'm so sorry. Work's been so hard for you. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of knows what she's doing.
Dommy mommy.
But
then we meet the family. And this is where I start having a lot of thoughts. Okay. Let's get into it. But first, we got to take one more quick pause. So, Mel had me grinding my teeth this episode, which actually he's had me grinding my teeth every single episode, but he had me also grinding my teeth even before he was on the season. But what's new? It's been a grind, but what's new? Because I'm always grinding my teeth because I've been grinding my teeth for forever, unfortunately. And unfortunately, that has led to some teeth issues and jaw pain over the years. And guess what? It's not just me. Approximately 30% of U.S. adults grind or clench their teeth at night. Well, a few years ago, my dentist said, girl, you need a night guard. It would really help you. But when he told me the price, I was like, yikes, not today.
Correct.
And I didn't get one at the time. Well, thank goodness I eventually discovered Remy night guards. Okay. Remy's custom night guards are clinically tested to prevent teeth grinding, reduce jaw tension and facial muscle strain, and improve sleep quality. Hear me when I tell you, you will get the same professional quality and comfort as a night guard from the dentist, but Remy costs you 80% less.
Mm.
Yes, I said 80% less. And it's just so much more convenient than having to go into the dentist's office to get one. And as an added cost benefit, you can use your HSA, FSA credits towards your night guard at checkout. Remy is the best. Okay. Family, Remy is just simply the best. When I discovered them, I was like, is this too good to be true? But trust, it's the real deal. And I could not be happier with my night guard.
I got a Remy night guard as well. And here's how it works. Once you order, you receive your impression kit straight to your door. And this kit has it all. Remy gives you easy step-by-step instructions to get your perfect impression. So it's a breeze. They also provide two sets of everything in case in your kit you need to try again, my vibe, which is extremely helpful. You take your impression, send it back to them, and Remy ships your custom fit night guard, and boom, you can start protecting your teeth. They make the whole experience so smooth and so simple.
And we're obsessed. Been wearing my Remy night guard for numerous months now, and it is so comfortable and it is so lightweight. I don't even notice that I have it in. But what I do notice is that it's absolutely helping relieve the symptoms of grinding, like the jaw tension. And I also noticed that I paid 80% less for it. So if I lose it or my dog eats it, I can replace it.
Mm.
Love you so much, Remy. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. No waiting rooms, no overpriced bills, just a better way to protect your teeth while you sleep. Try Remy risk-free. Go to shopremy.com/momdad and use code momdad to get up to 50% off your night guard at checkout. That's 50% off at shopremi.com/momdad with code momdad, shopremi.com/momdad, code momdad. Thank you, Remy, for sponsoring this episode. So, Mel and Cindy go and meet her three daughters, yes. Caroline, Sarah, and Emily. Ugh. I would love to have three daughters. Yeah. I'm obsessed. I like
everyone
to have like a bundle.
Very cool.
They're
very sweet.
They're awesome.
The daughters were very cool. Family, everyone was giving kind of a presidential royal energy. You know what I mean? Everyone was very put together.
Mel said and, polished. Well,
I wanted
at
one to get, I didn't want you saying that.
Why not?
Because I wanted to get to that.
Okay, I'll hold. I'll zip.
I mean, you already blew it. but just on initial vibe,
yes.
It was very like, you know, we watch what we say, country club energy,
beauty pageant.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's very pretty.
Gorgeous.
Everyone's attractive. Yep. Everyone's very put together.
The son-in-laws were very, very handsome.
Great hair. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was very curated.
It's very curated.
The restaurant matched what they looked like.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a totally different vibe.
And then when they first all sit down, she immediately brings up Paula Abdul on their date.
Right.
And she's like, girl,
guess what?
Who does mommy love?
Yes.
And it's Paula Abdul. Again, I'm sure we had a lot cut from this portion, but I felt like
let's highlight the celebrity moment.
With the other families, I felt like when they were all sitting together, they were talking about like, how did you guys, when you first met, how did you feel? We didn't see that at all with the Cindy and Mel portion with the full family. We saw the Paula Abdul. They didn't really talk about themselves as a couple. I found that to be a little interesting. But then we see Cindy sit down with two of her daughters, Emily and Caroline. And she says right away that Mel makes her feel safe and that, you know, her daughters affirm that she hasn't had that. And Caroline then says something very interesting to me in ITMs. She said, I was worried for my mom because I thought she'd be lost in the la-la land of it all, but she seems really grounded. Mm. Now, in my humble opinion, it's felt to me like Cindy has kind of been lost in the la-la land of it all, okay?
I'm in L.A. I'm doing this show. This is exciting.
Or even
Mel's this guy is on a pedestal. It's kind of like bigger than life.
If we remove the la-la land being the L.A. part, mm-hmm. I was even more taking la-la land as like kind of like in the fairy tale world. And from what we've seen, Cindy's been very much like, Mel is my sun, my moon, and my stars.
Right away, day one.
When they've spoken for an hour
right.
and an episode in is crying because of the other women. From my perspective, she's very caught up in
yes,
it.
I agree.
And this is my thought.
Like being with, like, I wonder if it is I like Mel that much or if it's like, I'm with The Bachelor. You know what I mean? I'm curious
yes.
about the difference there. It's like, how much is it Mel? How much is it just being on the show and being the winner? And you know,
I don't know, but this was what was interesting to me is that she then says to her daughters that she's not normally this way. We've also heard Cindy say to Mel that she's typically very logical, not emotional, but on the flip side, we have her daughter in ITM saying, we were worried that my mom was going to get really caught up. This is the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
The vibe I'm getting is that Cindy is someone who maybe her daughters know her better than she knows herself.
I agree.
I think Cindy's somebody who's a little bit like, no, I don't get caught up in the emotion. And she does get caught up in the emotion.
I think a great example of this is the not knowing the vibe is when she talks to the two youngest.
Mm-hmm.
They go, how are you feeling? And she goes, safe, mm-hmm. taken care of, very sure. And they kind of go, whoa. They kind of like look like, huh?
Wow, yeah.
Then she talks to the other daughter. Mm-hmm. And the daughter goes, how are you feeling? She goes, well, I'm cautious and I'm a little unsure and I'm a little, you know, weary of him not you know what I mean? It was like completely different answers. Yeah. And it was like she tailored her answers to who was asking. You could tell that she could kind of tell the young ones, don't be worried, I'm fantastic. And the older one, who can kind of see through it, be like, well, what's really going on? Well, I am being cautious, just so you know.
Well,
like, it was very like, well, what do you feel? You just gave opposite answers.
And also to that point, when she's speaking to her other daughter, her other daughter is like, hey, I'm feeling a little concerned because, you know, from my vibe, Mel gives me the energy like he never wants to slow down.
Yes.
And she said, sound familiar, like your mom?
Like, and you're like, good,
but I'm saying, you're like, but is that who you are or no? I don't know.
Hard to know.
I'm getting the vibe that Cindy is going to mold herself to whatever is going to work with Mel, mm-hmm. because she really wants this. Whether she wants Mel or whether she just wants that like firework love and she's willing to maybe not pick the right person and ignore the things to get that. Or maybe she's caught up in like the he's the bachelor, whatever it is.
Who knows? It's
whatever
just...
it is. I'm like, I don't think Cindy knows herself in the way that maybe her daughters know her.
Yeah.
And I worry for Cindy in that way because it makes me think about how, because I think she sees herself maybe differently than how she might actually feel. It's like when she talked to Mel about how she, in her last marriage, you know how she said she was like ignoring red flags because she wanted the family? Mm-hmm. Well, and she's not going to do that anymore. Well, now she wants the fireworks. And I think she's doing the same thing. She's ignoring the red flags. And I think 100%. It is just a pattern, which, oh my God, I feel for her because it's like, in how many parts of our lives are we kind of in these constant patterns and we don't necessarily see them in ourselves, but the people around us do. And I found that to be really interesting.
Super interesting. Super, super interesting.
Because I felt like her other daughter, and we'll talk about her daughter's conversation with Mel, but I felt like her other daughter was, in a very kind way, trying to get her mom to see that. Where it's like,
hey,
we know how mom is, and mom can get caught up and be like, this is the love of my life, or this is, you know, whatever, and then mom gets hurt. I felt like her other daughter was, in a very sweet way, being like, okay, I am concerned, like, is Mel going to be the one who loves you only for forever?
Well, it was very Dakota number two. Like, it was almost the exact thing twice.
Yes, let's talk about when...
Right? Like, it was almost, it was weirdly identical.
Yes.
That there was this kind of older daughter who was, like, very nice, very understanding, not kind of playing this rude vibe, very chill, very cool, but like asked a couple basic baseline questions and the most she got was, I like your mom. And I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, was okay, that even? Like, I would love a little bit more than I like your mom out of this.
And he even just started it off being like, you know, we have a lot in common and it's not just the physical attraction. I'm like, okay, thank you. That's not what she asked.
She didn't go, how's the physical? How's the sexual relationship with you guys? I want to make sure that's locked in. She didn't say that.
And the first thing that then he said to her is he was like, so how come she hasn't found a guy? And I don't like that question.
That's a weird thing to say.
I don't like that question.
It's basically saying, what's wrong with her?
Yeah, tell me what's wrong with your mom.
That's just saying, what's wrong with your mom? Mm-hmm. Do I need to know any weird shit?
Yeah, no,
it's giving
honestly,
that.
It's giving that. And
then wanting her to tell her why.
Yeah, and she says, she's like, well, she's dated great guys, but they just haven't been the guy,
one.
And she wants that next person to be the person she's with for the rest of her life. And she's like, okay, what can you, essentially, like, can you see yourself with my mom? And he's like, I like your mom a lot, but I don't know what's going to unfold in the next few weeks, aka these other babes might be wild in the sack and I might choose them instead.
Try it all out.
But she's like, can you see yourself in the next 20 years? Oh, this was hilarious. When she said, so can you see yourself in the next 20 years in a rocking chair? He cuts her off. He goes, I won't be in a rocking chair.
I'm very cool. I don't do that.
I'm virile. I don't like a rocking
chair.
I want to
be in a rocking chair. It's sick.
I know. And then she goes, okay, on a motorcycle or climbing.
Sorry, Mr. Cool Guy.
When she said on a motorcycle
very
or
funny,
climbing
it was
a mountain.
Totally a dig.
Oh, it was a dig. And I lived.
And he didn't even catch it as a dig. He was like, yes, exactly.
And
by the way, I know we're kind of shitting on Mel. And I'm sorry that it's like we can't be very like, you know, back and forth with it. But like, these women have way more energy and pop out of that chair a lot faster than Mel. If I do say so myself, these women are like high kicking, jumping around. And he's talking about how like, I don't know if I can date these old ladies because I'm Mr. Cool Energy Guy. And I'm going like, the way you talk and your energy is very old man. Everything's kind of slow and you're not given running up a mountain energy, my guy. So I don't know where this is weird. Like, he's very sensitive. You notice he's like sensitive. He's like touchy about the whole, like, I'm not slowing down. You're slowing down.
Well, you brought it up last week where there's probably an insecurity and there when it's like your whole life you've been valued for your youth and your speed and physical things. Sure. And then all of a sudden one day you're like, okay, who am I? You know, I think a lot of people who are in jobs like that do feel that. But
I agree, but that was 40 years ago. Yeah, it's a little bit like we're an old man now. Like, just be cool.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, this whole thing is like the women have twice as much energy.
But listen, at the end of the day, like, I know,
I guess we're all just kids forever.
We're shitting on Mel, but like, let's be real. When he's sitting here talking about that he's had one love and he got divorced and all that, like, I'm not trying to say this to be an asshole, but like, you have to process too that, you know, he's talking about when he was in his 40s, the woman who was like in her very early 20s. And right. It's like, that was the one person I've loved. And you're like, okay, well,
your reference is off.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm not saying everybody, listen, there's layers to this. And yeah. I just think it's something that, you know.
Yeah.
There's just layers.
Okay. All right. Appreciate
you,
that.
You take that as you
I
will.
I appreciate
take
that.
Take that as you will. But ultimately what she was asking him is, she's like, you know, like, can you see yourself one day when you're climbing a mountain?
Yeah, sorry.
It's with her.
When you're on Everest.
And he's like, potentially.
Paragliding down. Could you see yourself with her there?
She said,
sorry.
He says, potentially, I'm still getting
maybe.
To know
I don't
her.
Know. Did he say that's why we're here? Something like that?
No, he said that to Cindy later.
Oh, okay.
So when Sarah.
Oh, right. Sorry.
When her daughter Sarah is then talking to Cindy, and like I said, she's kind of like, she's trying to be like, okay, mom, but
can I get a morsel?
Can we see here? Like, I'm just, I'm trying to not be, you know, to rock your boat. But what about these moments? Like, will he still be? So basically what she says is, she's like, you know, he wants to always be busy and never slow down. And she's like, just like me. And then she says, yeah, mom, but in those moments, those still moments, can he be present with you? And she's like, oh, even beyond. Beyond. And it's like, it doesn't matter what her daughters threw at
yeah,
her.
She
had
an
answer for
Mel.
For everything. Yeah. And again, I think it's that feeling when you're trying to convince yourself that it's the right thing, even if it's not 100% gonna be the right thing.
You've already decided it's the right thing.
But she does walk away with being like, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
So she doesn't walk away fully being like ignoring everything, all the things her daughter said. She's like, uh-oh, my daughters seem to be a little concerned and maybe, you know, there are other women here and maybe Mel isn't going to want to walk away with me. And she's kind of processing that, even though then her daughter did say, she's like, well, I do feel like my mom is in love with Mel. But then they go back to Cindy's place. And yeah. Her place is gorgeous, and he loves it.
Her place is sick, overlooking the entire city. It looks like the bat. Like, it's very cool.
It's very cool, and he loves it.
Loves it.
It's very.
He literally is like, wow. He's like super
into it.
Like, I like the restaurant you picked. Mm-hmm. I like, this is my vibe.
I'm telling you, he's bouge.
Luck be late. Yeah, it's very cool.
He's bouge, and it's bouge. Like, look at the view. Look at the drinks.
Yes.
Look at the all white sofa.
I can live this life. I'm cool with this.
You know, and then we can take the drinks and go rooftop
yes.
and by the fire, and I'm into this.
I'm into this.
Now,
I'm not into you, but I'm into this.
He's like, we can stay like, half of the time at my place mm-hmm. in Orange County, and then we can go to Austin, Texas, and mm-hmm. have your rooftop. I mean, like, I can see him picturing
100%
what this is going to look like. But she then is saying in ITMs, she's like, oh, but wait a second. You said that you wanted to mention something about the polish because he says, she's like, okay, what do you think about my kids? And he's like, your kids were better than I expected. They're wonderful, polished.
Yeah, like, I just thought, well, it was reinforcement to what you were talking about, which was the whole, like, he might have cut Debbie because of the hometown vibe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cindy and her family had by far the most different vibe from the other two.
Yeah, country.
Very
club
city,
energy.
Very like put together, very clean cut, very nice restaurant. You know, everyone's like in the beautiful gown, whatever. But it was like, it wasn't his leading thing wasn't, oh my God, your daughters are so caring and kind. It wasn't, oh my God, your son-in-laws are great men. It was, they're polished.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I liked that they looked good, that they had the right words. It was I could see myself in this country club life. I like the restaurant. Your apartment is nice and polished. I like the package you've presented me,
mm-hmm,
not mm-hmm. the people inside the fucking package.
Right.
But I just thought it was like so telling that he said polished. Like,
yeah.
Polished is such a specific way to describe it. I've never heard anyone describe another human as polished in low-key a good way. It was like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. He's like very polished. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. But he took it as like, this is good.
This is a compliment.
And I just thought that was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
To say, how did you like my kids? Good. They're really polished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To be like, and low-key, a little look into the Orange County vibe. That's the like value vibe. It's like the they're good because they're attractive, they're polished, they have money energy. Him saying that, I kind of like felt, I just remember, you know, like I feel the Orange County mind there. And it was just, bothered me personally, and I think probably most people didn't think about it, but it personally really irked me.
No, I feel that because, again, coming from Orange County, where we have, you know, some of our traumas from, and it's very much like there's a certain very specific beauty standard,
yes,
and you have value if you fit into this line and this monetary amount and the schools that you go to.
It's got like my favorite child is the most handsome or hot or the beautiful one.
Yes.
You know
Correct.
What I mean?
Correct.
Oh, my daughter, Dada, is the greatest. She's so beautiful. It's like, what?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing. But you know what I mean?
It's not, like, oh, so she's great. Or she's of the person my daughter
such an
is.
Honest
it's like,
person.
Well, she's thin and she's beautiful.
She's won all the beauty competitions. Energy.
Yep.
Polished was such a bizarre way to describe someone's children. Didn't love it.
Oh, it's triggering. It's youth.
Very weird.
Youth triggering.
Yeah.
Another thing. Speaking of what he liked that we forgot about is when he was talking to the son-in-laws, he's like, listen, I'm not looking for perfect. I'm looking for compatibility and somebody who can, I can have fun with. For example, I love college football. How is she going to react to Saturdays? And the son-in-laws say, oh, she's going to love those. She's going to know more about the college football than you do. And he goes, really? That's a game changer. And he said it with conviction.
Oh, 100%.
So
I'm not going to get my balls busted for watching my games.
So I do think that was a big factor for her, too, is he's like, she's got her polished kids and she's not going to bust my ass when I want to watch college football every Saturday.
I mean, Nicole kind of nailed him right away. Remember early on, she was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make him these lemon bars because that's truly how to it's like they say like how to, you know, it's like
the way to a man's
heart is through his stomach. He truly is that type of guy. We're like, what do you love about your wife? Great lemon bars. Doesn't bother me on Saturdays. Polished kids. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of like that way.
I know. But she's talking about in ITMs that she's like, I feel the big L for Mel, but my kids are unsure. And so I'm questioning it now. And she says that her kids wonder if Mel feels the same way. And she tells him this. So she sits him down and she's like, hey, my kids are wondering if you feel the same way for me like I do for you. And she's like, hey, I'm really falling for you, but I don't quite know where you're at. I kind of need a gut check from you. And he says, it's complicated, but this got me closer. She's like, I know that someone will pick me eventually, and I really hope it's you. And he's like, that's why we're here. So he gave her nothing.
Nothing.
He gave her nothing.
That's why we're here is epic.
And she was disappointed. She was like,
I thought I was going to get, after all this, I thought I was going to get more than that's why we're here.
And she was like, he didn't give me any assurance. And part of me for a moment, I felt I had hope.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is she going to be like, nah,
correct,
I'm not going to deal with this. But no, she got, I think, sucked right back in as soon as the rose ceremony happened. Because when we get to the rose ceremony, first of all, Mel gives his speech and he brings up the podcast. He's like, I thought I wanted a certain type of woman and I still do. And they're right here before me. Beautiful, accomplished, brilliant, spiritual, but old.
Old, gross. I mean, beautiful, spiritual.
The fact that he said, I thought I wanted a certain type of woman and I still do, sent me to the moon. That felt like
that's like an apology and then you cancel it right at the end.
I feel like a slip up where like he kind of then was like, oh yeah, I mean, and here you are.
And I'm so, so sorry today that you're so sensitive.
So he ends up giving his first rose to Peg and his second rose, aka his last rose, to Cindy. So Debbie is going home.
I think it's good. I really hope. I think Debbie's in line to be the bad. Next
I think
batch.
She's a great. Nicole. Even though I will say they didn't give her any exit.
That's true. But there's a lot of times where like we are surprised by who.
That's true.
Who jumps on.
Mel, for example.
Exactly. That was a surprise. I think Peg could be, depending on how this goes. But I do feel like, I just feel like Debbie's a better fit.
I think Peg's a blast and a half.
Amazing.
But I think Debbie would fall in love.
I agree.
Quickly.
That's what I'm saying. I think Peg's biggest problem she talked about is like, you know, I'm not really in, like, I have to kind of, you know, compartmentalize my feelings, this, that. And that's kind of my big hurdle is getting through that. I feel like Debbie is ready. She's open. She's ready to go. I think that that would be ideal. I think she's perfect for it.
But like I said, they did not give her like.
No, it was like bang,
bang,
boom, out.
We didn't see
her.
That felt so sad. We didn't see her in the car.
She was devastated
talking
too. She said like, this is devastating.
She was devoed. But I mean, what she literally, she's like, when she says goodbye, she's just like, just be happy. Mm. He doesn't give a reason, Evan. It was like, it was making me insane. In ITMs, nor.
It's like your house is small.
Nor to her did he give a reason. No. So I'm like, are we not going to get anything? So. Every other bachelor, bachelorette, when they send home number three,
they're both crying, but we also hear why.
Mm-hmm. We hear why in ITMs. Why did you not choose? Even if it's literally just like, I don't know, but these other two, for some reason, I'm connected more with them. And this third is amazing, but there's something about these other two. We didn't even get that. No. We have no reason why.
Nothing.
And I think it's because not a bougie hometown. But coming up, we have next week the Golden Bachelor Women Tell All. And correct. I do hope they end up roasting Mel, even though we did not see that. Looks like we'll have, like you said, though, some fun
maybe
moments
a little back,
from Nicole.
A little tea.
Some moments from Nicole.
Nicole needs to be called out. I mean, if that's not, doesn't happen, that's insane.
Well,
but Nicole needs to be absolutely called out now that they've seen all this. It's insane.
We see her crying, being like, Mel, I did feel for you.
Well, I love that. I like the idea that she has to defend her love for him. That's very funny.
It's very funny. And then
the
it
best
looks
thing
like,
she could do is just come on and be like the ultimate villain. That would be iconic.
You know what, Nicole, and I know it's already been filmed, but if you came on
and just were like, fuck all you.
Well, even
this
if
is
she
a game to me.
But if she came on and she was like, listen, I really regret what I said about the other women because that was really mean. But I'll be real with you. When I found out that Mel was the Golden Bachelor after what he said, I was so upset and I wanted to just say fuck it because I was hoping to find love. But then I realized, you know what? Fuck him. This is an opportunity for me.
Right. Could have bodied
to make money for myself and to support my family, people would celebrate that.
There would be some like,
people would
I can
celebrate
see
it.
I can see
well, because
that.
Because
it'd
be like, screw this guy. We're all frustrated about it. And if she then was like, hey, I'm sorry for what I said about the women, because that's not being a girl's girl. That's terrible.
But the best TV is when they do feel like they're justified in it and they have defended. It's a whole thing. And they're like, no, I'm actually a good person. That's actually the best TV.
It's true. Well, and then I think the week after that, we're going to probably, it looks like, get the finale.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got two different women saying one wants a fireplace, one wants fireworks. We'll see which direction Mel goes. I think I know. But I'll be real though, Evan. We haven't seen a preview from what I'm aware of. Maybe I'm losing it, but I don't feel like we've seen a preview of him near a ring or a proposal stand. I don't think we've seen any hint of him proposing.
There's been no clips.
There's been
of
no
them
clips.
At the altar.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe
usually by now there are plenty of like in the. And you're going to hear the craziest ending you've ever seen.
So what happens?
I think he just goes like to Applebee's with her and is just like, great, I'll take the endless nachos or something. And then they just
let's
end
be
it.
Real. Mel has an apple
sorry.
And water. He'd never
Javier's.
Go to Applebee's. Yeah.
And they get the lobster. It's the weirdest show ever. We'll see you next week.
But honestly, though, like, what the hell?
I do not know.
What's going to happen?
We haven't seen. They have not showed a preview of anything.
No, and but the one preview that we had is him and Jesse talking by like the table.
Yeah.
And Jesse's like, I think she's coming back or she may come back. Maybe they both leave, Evan. But why then, if that's the case, aren't they saying the most dramatic finale? Yeah. Why aren't we getting a lead up? What the fuck happens?
What is going to happen?
I don't understand. This man isn't proposing. There's no way. He's so far from proposing. So what the... Why aren't we hearing about it? Why aren't they saying it's going to be dramatic?
Yeah, no.
I don't get it.
So weird. Yeah. Shun, shun,
shun. Anywho, family.
Love y'all.
Love you all so much. Again, tune in next week for another recap of The Golden Bachelor.
You're just like raring, you know?
Late night episode. And apologies in advance if it's a day late, but we'll keep you updated
next week.
We'll keep you updated on the Instagram though if that is the case. Otherwise, it'll be coming out Friday. Okay. We love you all so very much.
Mwah.